It's good to see everybody. Pastor is doing one of his bucket list things this weekend and hiking certain pass in Colorado with his boys, and I believe he's down safely, at least from what I understand. So that's praise God for that. Ron, Mr. Brewer, he being the youngest member on the elder team, you kind of get the raw end of the deal sometimes. Ron's like, "Hey, Adam, can you preach for me this weekend? I'm going to be gone." And here he is. You saw him up here talking to you. I don't know if that was an illusion or what, but I love you, brother. Thank you. Someday. But, yeah, so. Today I'm going to be speaking on Galatians 1, and it ties really well into Pastor's last message. Sorry, this must be set for Pastor. Ties in really well to what Pastor was speaking in Colossians 3 last week about putting on the new life since we are a new creation and taking off the old life. It is by grace alone given by God. And it's a common thread that we see in Galatians as well. So buckle up, because those that know me, I'm pretty straight to the point. I don't use a lot of words like Pastor, and him and I joke about that, so we go back and forth. Paul's first missionary journey was to the Roman province of Galatia, and as we'll see, Paul uses the term Galatians, or churches of Galatia, and so what we'll find is that this issue was pretty widespread throughout why he was responding to this by the letter. And Galatia is in modern-day Turkey. This is a little background. Their cities are Pisidian, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. And I thought I had my map set right, but as you can see, Galatia is kind of in the middle there and all the traveling points there. This was very interesting to me. The word Galatia is related to the Celt and Gaul. And if you don't know what that is, Gaul was an ancient region in Europe, and it corresponds to modern day France, Belgium, the southern Netherlands, southwest Germany, and northern Italy. And like several hundred years before Christ, many of the ethnic groups in Gaul, Scottish, Irish, Welsh, migrated down to that region. So they came down, and that's who Paul was preaching to. Now, Paul's letter to the Galatians was one of ardent intensity. It was a serious reproof to the Galatians, and so I may not do it justice as I read it. I may need to use my daddy voice, Asher. And so, because the Galatians, in his first missionary journey there, he had taught them, you know, he had taught them about Christ, but then they had listened to false teachers, and they were listening to false doctrine about following the law again instead of the grace of God. And so you can understand, Paul's like, "I already taught you, and now you're falling back." And so he was a little bit upset. So after I preach this and I find that you're falling away, I may have some words, like Paul. Now let's turn to Galatians 1 together if you have your Bible. And I always had a hard time remembering the order of God, or Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and if you remember, God eats popcorn, that works. Or you can do what Aubriana does, and I think the LeMaster girls is, you know, listening to memorizing the books of the Bible on CD in the car over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Those that have kids know that listening to CDs in the car goes over and over and over and over and over. So let's read Galatians 1. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached to me is not man's gospel, for I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. But I received it through a revelation of Christ. If you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. And what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still known in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God because of me. So I see several purposes for the book of Galatians, and Paul speaks directly, gives an overview of what he's going to reproof them for. But Paul has to establish his authority, and he preaches about God's grace and his glory. And so why did Paul have to reestablish his authority? Well, the false teachers, obviously, if they're coming in, they're going to have to discredit Paul and what he taught them before. So they've discredited him, and then they're teaching their own gospel. But obviously, as Paul said, there's only one gospel. So Paul is stating that there's absolute truth. False teachers are preaching something else than what Paul's preaching. And in verse 1, Paul, an apostle. Now, the scripture has two uses for the word apostle, there's a general use and a more specific use. Apostle, or the word apostolos, means the one who is sent. This is, in the general use, there's several scriptures. If we turn to John 13:16, truly, truly, I say unto you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. And in the ESV, it uses the term messenger for apostolos. And in Philippians 2:25, I have thought it necessary to send you to Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker, a fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. Epaphroditus was just a fellow teacher sent out, not necessarily what we would think as the normal apostles, so one who was sent out. We may consider our missionaries apostles in that sense. We send them out to preach the word of God, to be God to those that don't know. But Paul's usage of the word apostolos, he denies the general use immediately. It's more than that. So in verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. 2 Corinthians 1:1 speaks of this as well. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. Ephesians 2:20. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. So we see in Ephesians, he's speaking of a smaller group because they group them with the prophets and Christ Jesus as the foundation of the church. And so Paul is speaking into his authority because he has to reestablish that. And the reason, this is pretty profound, the reason that he is doing this and what he is actually saying is his words that he is using, the words that he's teaching and giving to people are the actual words of God. So if we ponder this thought, think about the times that we go and we seek the counsel from others, we have a problem, apart from the word of God. Paul is saying, the actual words I'm saying are from God, they're God's words. And times we go and I need help, brother. But the word of God is there for us. I always enjoyed Hebrews 4:12. It's a very powerful verse. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart, and reading. So, any reading, any listening to Scripture is going to change you in some way. For a long time, I was like, man, I'm not reading my Bible, you know, enough. Or, you know, I'm reading Deuteronomy or Leviticus or Numbers, and I'm just not getting anything out of it. But it is the Word of God. It's the words of God, as Timothy, the breath of God, as Timothy tells us. And so it's doing something. So don't be discouraged in that, even if you pick up your Bible for 5 minutes and read it. It's doing something in your life. So Paul sets the foundation of his authority. And then he brings in the truth of grace. If we read verses 3 through 5, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So what is this evil age? What is he referring to? It's the enslavement of sin in our lives that binds us, in our societies that's binding us. That's what he is speaking about. And Paul is specifically to the Galatians speaking about abandoning the truth of God's free gift of grace versus works of the law, versus doing what the law did that Christ fulfilled. Paul also speaks in Galatians 2, a person is not justified by works of the law. He speaks in Galatians 3, all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. The Galatians were listening to false doctrine and following the old ways. Jesus reproved the Pharisees many times for this. But Paul reminds them they have been delivered from this evil age of bondage and sin. Turn to Colossians 1:13. God has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is past. Behold, the new has come. And Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. One of the great things I think about Paul and God's purpose for his life, and when I finally understood this, it was just kind of very eye-opening. If we turn to verses 13 and 16, for you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles. So Paul's life, if we think about this, and it says it right there, God knew him before he was born, purposed him to be born into the family that he was born, lived the life he did, persecuting, killing Christians. And then at the right time, God transformed his heart by grace. God did the work. And who can speak more about grace than Paul? That is powerful. And God purposed him just for this, to send to the Galatians, the Romans. So, I see from Paul's life and what he preaches about the grace of God, and we see this just in the first five verses, is that the supreme value in the whole of creation is the glory of God. It is the standard by which we are judged. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And at the top of God's glory, we find his grace to us. The Ten Commandments were only to reveal our separation, a point of unattainable reference. There's just no way we could get to it. It was Christ. And he's trying to convey this to the Galatians and remind them they have been delivered from this works that they have to do to attain justification. It's by the grace of God in our lives. And sometimes I've done this, I'm sure all of us have done this. It's like, I'm not doing enough for God, or I've done so much sin, I've done too many wrong things. You know that my father just got saved, and many of the conversations I have with him, my dad goes, Adam, I just don't feel worthy. I've just done too much. And I chuckle at him. I say, Dad, all of us have. All of us are not worthy. And it's God's gift. I like how, many of you may know Pastor Ray Comfort. I like how he communicates this when he's speaking to people. Has anyone ever told a lie in their life? What are we called then? Liars? Yes, we've broken God's law. Has anyone ever stole anything? What would we be called? We're thieves. We're not the Steelers. We don't play football. But men, have we ever looked lustfully at another woman? This applies to women too. Jesus said, even if you look at a woman lustfully, we have committed adultery in our hearts. All of us have broken the laws of God in every way, many ways. And the greatest thing about that is Christ has paid the penalty for those sins. And every sin to those who believe. Our record of debt of sin is gone. He has freed us from the mindset of the evil age that he spoke about. And Paul speaks more about this. And he's given us an abundant life. So, you know, we shouldn't return to that yoke of slavery. We should live in the freedom and be transformed by the renewing of our mind, as Paul says in Romans. And God be the glory forever and ever. And I'm going to close with this. When I lead music sometimes, you may notice that I choke up. And it's because in those moments I think about the glory of God. I think about being in front of his throne. I'm not worthy, but yet he has freed me. I think about Christ on the cross. In the hour of his most horrific pain and bearing the sins of everybody, he can still forgive the person next to him on the cross that asked for it. It's not that I'm holy, but it's that any holiness or righteousness we have comes from grace by the death of God. With this truth, what we can do, what can we do but worship God? So, let's pray.